Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Dr. Deji Iyawode, who is the first African immigrant to become a nuclear missile operator in the United States Air Force and served in three U.S. military branches. He's a trained veterinary surgeon, combat medic, nuclear weapons system, SME, senior program analyst, and U.S. Space Force Department of Defense civilian at the Pentagon. He turned to storytelling as a solace from an early life of poverty and loss. His new book is Underground, a memoir of hope, faith, and the American dream. And Dr. Iyawode, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
You're more than welcome. Our honor to have you with us, and do appreciate your time. So tell us, for starters, why did you write Underground? Let's start there.
Oh, thanks, Eric. I think the motivation behind Underground was when we, my wife and I, when we had our first daughter in 2010, and then 3 years later, we had our son. Between my daughter and my son, it was something that I started thinking about because I'm the first in my family to come down to the United States. And I sort of had that urge in me to kind of start putting together, a sort of history record for my kids, because, you know, the Americans, they would grow up and, you know, who knows, my two, three generations from now, my grandchildren would probably not look anything like me, you know, or sound anything like me, of course. You know, so I wanted to have a record. And when I started pouring down, you know, my family history in the book, and I decided to kind of take my time with it, write a story as far back as I could remember, so that, and I kind of pictured my kids old enough to read and understand what I'm writing, so they can understand how it all began, where I came from, the things I had to go through to build the kind of foundation that we now have as Americans in the United States. But when I started doing that, I think I started getting emotional, because there was a lot of things that were just coming out from me, and I was remembering a whole lot of things that I didn't think about before that never really bothered me. So, it became a thing. You know, I finished writing, gave it to my wife. She went over it, and, you know, she started crying at some point in the book that, oh my God, this is, you know, this is powerful. And at that point, I wasn't thinking about publishing it. I just wanted to have a record. And I decided to write a pitch and started pitching it out to New York literary agencies. And I started getting calls and things. So that's when I figured, you know, there's something in here that I think could really inspire people. So I decided to really clean it up and turn it into a memoir, you know, and that's how Underground came about.
How about that? The whole goal was to have everything on record, and it turned out to be something much more bigger than that. How about that? Excellent. And I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are certainly benefiting from those that have already read the book as well. What do you hope Underground accomplishes in the end?
I think about the two primary goals. That personally, I want my children and their children, you know, to be able to look back, you know, when they're old enough to read and understand the content of that book, and take some pride in the heritage, you know, one, take some pride in being Americans, take pride in knowing the fact that they are born into this, into a different kind of privileged society compared to where I came from, that, and they have no reason to take things for granted. They have to take advantage of the opportunities, because a lot of people, well, I struggled, I worked really hard for it, and it would be great to, you know, see my kids do really well in the future, and see them pass that discipline and story on to their own kids as well. I think from the personal side, that's what I really hope would happen. But I primarily hope that the book ministers to, you know, international, to immigrants, to international students especially, that they can't give up. You know, when you come here and things seem really hard, that's normal. You have to start over. America is still a land of dreams, and you just have to be able to commit to it. You have to be able to do the work. There are no shortcuts. And when you, if you're able to put in the time and what it takes, you'll be surprised what will happen. You see your dreams turn to reality. You know, so I also hope the book, you know, really inspire and motivate, you know, immigrants and those are even Americans alike that are beginning to feel, you know, a sort of disappointment, you know, with their endeavors here in the United States. You know, they can read a book like that and know that, wow, this, you know, this country is a land of dreams, a land that, you know, that gives that hope, you know, turns people's, you know, me as an immigrant, turn my hope into reality. You know, how much more, you know, they're born in, you know, here in the United States. So I think I really hope that it does that to all readers. And so far, I think I'm getting those feedbacks, you know, I'm getting messages and how it's doing that to a lot of people.
Now, I'm sure listeners would be curious, and I am as well. Why did you actually decide to join the military?
There are different facets to that. Obviously, the first one is, I think deep down inside me, I've always liked the military. I kind of just promised myself that, well, if I don't ever make it to the United States, I would just keep practicing as a veterinary surgeon. But, you know, if I ever immigrate to the United States, I will give it a shot. You know, I'll try to be in the military. And, you know, it's just one part of me that if I don't do it, I'm probably going to get really old and regret not ever giving it a shot, right? The other side to that also was coming here, there are different paths to achieving whatever goals we set for ourselves as immigrants. For me personally, I was looking forward to helping my mom and my siblings, give them some opportunity that I was pursuing here, you know, see. And one way to do that, after I got my green card, well, otherwise known as permanent residency, I was in the military. Well, if you join the military, we are at the time of war then, and I got naturalized in boot camp, which made me an American citizen. And by default, I was able to file for my mom to come down here. So it opened doors to my family as well to join me in the United States and, you know, make something of themselves. So that was also part of it. But I think after spending a few times in the military, I realized quickly that this is what's missing in my life. You know, everything about the structure of the military, what the military stands for. But most importantly, I found that in the military, you know, I think I've been like that all my life, but I knew for sure in the military that what gives me joy and makes me feel like I'm leading a purposeful life is service to other people. So I think the core of service to people around us generally is what the U.S. military stands for. And that I just feel like, you know, I found my purpose in the military, but I wouldn't have found that if I didn't join. So going in, giving it a shot and realizing, yes, that's exactly what I was looking for, you know, did it for me. And that's why I stayed in.
Yeah, that certainly makes a lot of sense. And thanks for covering some of your background. It certainly is very interesting. No doubt today we're joined by Dr. Deji Iyawode, who is the first African immigrant to become a nuclear missile operator in the United States Air Force and served in three U.S. military branches. His new book is Underground, a memoir of hope, faith, and the American dream. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, how did you go from being a veterinary surgeon to becoming a U.S. sailor in the Navy, an airman in the Air Force, and guardian in the Space Force? Talk to us about that.
Interesting question. A lot of people ask me that. Remember when I said it's one thing to be a professional in one field, and then another thing to try to find your purpose, right? It wasn't like I wasn't living a purposeful life as a veterinary surgeon, but when I came to the United States, I went straight to grad school. And after that program, I started writing board exams to practice as a veterinarian in the US. And I remember, but I had to respecialize in the US because my doctor of veterinary medicine degree was acceptable in the US, but to specialize, I could practice as a general practitioner, but I had to respecialize, and I was going for interviews for that. And at the same time was when I was contemplating, it is now or never if I want to join the military. And if I were to think about myself and my wife alone at the time, I probably would have just gone to residency here and graduate and practice and make money and just lead that comfortable life. Or I can make those sacrifices now, join the military, help my family, provide some opportunity that I have, and so that 5-10 years, I don't have people depending on me. They can, take care of themselves as well. But anyway, I had to enlist instead of commissioning because I didn't have citizenship at the time. So, but that's what it took. So I enlisted. That's how I became a combat medic. I did my time in the Navy, and then I was eligible to commission as an officer. And then that was when I commissioned to the Air Force as a nuclear missile operator. But also was also because I wanted to spend more time with my family. I was really gone away from them while I was in the Navy. So the Air Force is kind of more family friendly. So that's how I ended up commissioning to the Air Force and ended up serving in both branches. But now as a civilian, I'm now in the Space Force as a guardian.
Well, your response certainly is motivating, and I certainly appreciate your feedback on that. I'm sure listeners appreciated that as well. Now, what would you like to say to immigrants and non-immigrants seeking the American dream?
What I'd like to say to them primarily is that when they arrive here, they shouldn't shy away from the challenges that we have to face. Probably set goals for themselves and try to make plans, which is the right thing to do, because you can have dreams, but without plans and goals, you won't get anything out of it, But even when they do, they have to understand that whatever path they think they might need to take to achieve what they want may not be the path, may not work out. But those failures aren't excuses for them to stop or to quit. They're going to have to find another way and keep pressing forward. You just have to make sure they're moving forward. And it's very easy for people to get frustrated, get intimidated, and just want to quit and probably go back and or give up on their dreams. But it's very important for them to know that anything is possible, irrespective of where we come from. What really matters is our heart, the grit within us, and then the mentality, the hard work, that knowing you have to do what it takes to get to where you're going. And also there'll be other challenges, it could be cultural, it could be racial, it could be things like that. They cannot afford to lose focus. You have to stay focused, irrespective. I think if you can envision where you want to be, you just have to keep pressing and keep doing the work. They have to refrain from taking shortcuts, from doing illegal things and things like that. Because in America, if you're willing to do the work, it will happen. Your dream will come true one way or the other. It may not be exactly how you envisioned it. It might even be better than that. But you will get there.
Dr. Iowardi, we want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today on EPN. Certainly has been an honor to have had you with us. Before you go, and one last question for you, what is Solani? Talk to us about that.
Thank you. Solani is an educational nonprofit that my wife and I started in January of 2021. And what we aim to do is to provide scholarships to international students that are struggling with paying their tuition balance in the United States. So we are also medical students. The United States medical students in third and fourth year with commitment to specialize in geriatric medicine and oncology, or one of the two, well, definitely one of the two, as we're providing scholarships to them as well. And the idea behind that is a lot of people paid forward for me when I came here as a student. And even up to now, there are still people paying it forward. That's why, you know, I'm living the American dream. And, you know, my definition of American dream is probably different from someone else's, you know, but I'm thankful and grateful for where I am today. And a lot of people paid it forward for that to happen. And we're only trying to do the same thing. We want to be able to pay it forward to a lot of these students so that when they accomplish their dreams or the primary goals of immigrating to the United States or even coming here to study as students, they are motivated to pay it forward as well. So the idea is to stand this chain reaction and see how far it would go. You know, maybe long term, you know, we want to be able to do public health missions and things like that in developing nations and areas in the United States that need such specialties to kind of just pay back, just give back to our communities here. But primarily, yes, Olani is an educational nonprofit.
Well, it certainly is a great touch, and we're really thankful for all that you do and for joining us here today. And again, you are the author of Underground, A Memoir of Hope, Faith, and the American Dream. Where can listeners pick up the book and or get more information on the book and on you as well?
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Eric. The book is available, I like to say, everywhere online. And that's because if you go on to Google and type Underground, A Memoir of Hope, Faith, and American Dream by Deji Ayoade, you'll see all the it's available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, and Prince & Noble, and all these stores. So you can get that online. To follow me on social media, you just look for Deji Ayoade on Facebook. Same name on Instagram, on Twitter. So you can follow us. But our website is, we doing some good work on that right now. So that will look a little different, probably starting sometime this week. So you can get on there and know about the book, about me, about other projects we're working on, the podcast that we're doing, you know, the other interviews we're doing and the articles that, you know, I've written that are out there that are the focus specifically on immigrants and thriving in the United States and how to face the challenges as immigrants here, especially students that are trying to make a way for themselves and build a future here. We have contents like that on our website, thegiuad.com. And feel free to send me a message on over any of these social media options that I just talked about.
And of course, we'll leave these links within the show notes of this broadcast. As always, Dr. Ayoade, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
The pleasure is mine, Eric. Thank you for your time.
Again, my pleasure and honor. Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Deji Ayoade, who is the first African immigrant to become a nuclear missile operator in the United States Air Force and serve in 3 U.S. military branches. His new book is Underground, A Memoir of Hope, Faith, and the American Dream. And for all the details, visit DejiAyoade.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.